Recording? Good morning. Hamayim Mayim. Okay, Toda Rabba. Parashat Vayera. Everybody knows what it says at the beginning, but I want to read it again for you. Quickly, we're going to read the beginning of Parashat Vayera. Vayera Elo Hashem, God appeared to him. The him is the one who we've been talking about, Avram. God appeared to him in Elone Mamre. Elone Mamre is Hebron, Kiryat Arba. Kiryat Arba. It was hours a long time ago. Before there was an Islam on the face of this earth. Kiryat Arba. Elone Mamre, who Yoshev Petach HaOel Kachom HaYom, is sitting at the opening to his tent, the heat of the day. And we know what Rashi says, that God had come to the Mevarkei Chol. He came to visit Avram, who was ill. He's 99 years old. It was the third day after he had undergone circumcision. And God wanted to make sure that there are... What did I do?
This announcement.
What?
The announcement underneath your phone.
I made a mistake. We're going to stop. We're going to take a break. I get so involved, Hannah. I get so involved.
I know.
I get so involved that I forget to make the announcement. But I think I better turn it around so I can read it. Rabbi Goldshear is being sponsored today, Yud Dalet Cheshvan, October 27th. I can't believe October is over already, and it's nearly the middle of Cheshvan. By Rivka Chaya Avraham. Is she here? There she is. Can I say what you're celebrating? Well, that's between me and you. What did you say?
Good.
36 years ago, Rivka Chaya Avraham converted to Judaism, and here the shears and deep gratitude, the four people were the members of the Beit Din in Chicago who converted her. Three are already of an Olam HaEmes. The fourth, Gesundheit, Shibizeche, Tariches Yom HaBashayim, Rabbi Aaron M. Ryan, Zichrono Levracha, Rabbi Moses Meshulov. These were famous Orthodox rabbis in Chicago. Rabbi Vincian Weil, and Solange Yochan, Rabbi Nathan Weiss, who lives here in Yerushalayim today, and it's in... their memory and honor for the wisdom, guidance, and patience they gave me during my journey. During my journey. Quite a journey it is. Her last name is Avraham. Boy, does this fit into Parshas Lech Lecha and Vayera. I couldn't have done it any better myself. And we wish you, yes Hashem, for a long lifetime of an exciting journey. A real journey. We're all in this together. We're all in this together. And we're going to make it. We're going to make it. We are making it. They can try and stop us. Nothing is going to help. Anyway, back to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was sitting at the opening to his tent. God has made it an extremely hot day. It's the kind of day that only tourists and malachim would be out in the street on a day like this. He had made it so hot because he knew that Avraham Avinu would want guests, and he didn't want any guests to come by, and Avraham was so upset about it. So I imagine the Baruch Hashem didn't want him to play a cup with any tourists. That we don't, he didn't need. But here are three malachim who looked like, they looked like Bedouins. The Gaur of Soloveitchik referred to them. I'm not going to give the entire how we describe them completely, but drei bedevina, three Bedouins. Anyway, by you saw Elohim lifted his eyes by garment, you saw the name, behold, surprise. He name always means surprise. And the surprise is because nobody's been on the road. Nobody goes out on a day like that. And behold, there are three men, Nitzavim al over standing there. Vayar, he saw, Vayar, it's across him, and he ran toward them. He passed a hole from the opening to his tent, Vayishtach Warzah, and he bowed down to them. Vayom, and he said, now, the next word could even mean God. He's telling God, God, do me a favor. Just wait a few minutes. Hashem came to visit him. You don't leave a visitor. Wait a minute, wait, I'll be right back. Or he may be talking to the three gentlemen and to the oldest, or the one who seems the most respectable of all, my master, in nomad sati chen beinechof, I found favor in your eyes, al no tavor me'al avdecho, don't pass by over here. Come in, come in. You kachna ma'at mayim, let a little be of water taken, verachatzurak lechem, wash your feet, v'ishanu tachat ha'etz, and lean under the tree. He's taking care of them. I'm going to take a little bread, the sadu lipchem, and it'll make your heart sated. After you've received all of this, then you can go. I mean, if you pass by already, you got to drop in. And they said, so we shall do kashedi barta as you spoke. So first of all, he ran out toward them. Hot day. Just don't forget, he's 99 years old. It's the third day after he has undergone Brit Milah. In a sense, the ultimate step in his complete conversion. That's what it is. That's what it is. And now he's hurrying. Vayimar Avram, ha'olel el sor Avram, hurried to the tent to Sora, and he said to her, Mahari, hurry. I'm getting all shook up from all the running and the tension and the kunt and the gait as tutzich of tishin and of bank. And if you don't understand that, too bad. The only translation I can tell you is it's doing itself on tables and benches. And he says to her, Mahari, hurry, shlosim kemansalas. Three big measures of fine flour, lushi, knead them, I see you got, make cookies, the labaka, ratzav, gone right there, left out to the cattle, I don't know where the cattle were, and it's so hot out there, he runs, vayikam ben baka, rach v'tov, he took a head of cattle that was soft and good, vayitin al amar, and he gave it to the boy, Rashi says it was Yishmael, Vayimahed, Nacham all again, and he hurried Lasototo to make it. Vayikachem of a cholav u'menapakor, he took butter and milk and the meat. I should also eat it with him and he placed it with them. Who I made aleim tachos eisra yochelu, and he's standing over them under the tree as they eat. Now I want to try and be nice. But it's going to be very difficult to be nice. Because the fact is that would Avraham Avinu have asked his local Orthodox rabbi, his local Orthodox rabbi would have told him, Ligan Galeikt, don't dreh a cup, stay in bed, orange juice, Akamol every 6 hours, call me tomorrow morning. Let somebody else take care of these Mishugoyim who are walking out on the road today. Let's put it another way, maybe nicer. Avram's Gemilus Chesed is excessive. All right? It's extreme. It even seems to be, believe me, I have the greatest respect for Avram. You'll see at the end of this year. His conduct seems to be obsessive. If I wouldn't be afraid, I would say, Meshuggah. I said it. This a model? Is this the way we're supposed to perform acts of kindness? You have to hurt yourself and take a look. And meanwhile, he tells the Rebbeinu Shem, God himself, who has come to visit him, he tells him, like, cool your heels, Rebbeinu Shem, just wait here. Everybody reads it year after year, and you think that this is the model of how you're supposed to do chesed. Well, I maintain this is absolutely not the model of how to do chesed. You got to take care of yourself. Anything that's, I mean, listen, you know, 99 is 99. 3 days after Bris Milah is 3 days after Bris Milah, you know? Take it easy. You're not a spring chicken. It's obsessive. It's not a model that we should emulate. We may yet get in Yetz Hashem next week to one other such Meshuggener in Torah. There's going to be a little girl by the name of Rivka. This fellow Eliezer comes to Paddan Aram with 10 große, gesunde camels. And these 10 camels have 10 big, husky camel drivers. Mm-hmm. And this little girl is running back and forth to the trough, filling up water and giving them all to drink. And you know what we know what a camel is supposed to be able to drink.
The shear is sponsored by Rivka Avraham.
What?
The shear is sponsored
by
Rivka Avraham.
No,
Avraham.
Yeah.
I'm just mentioning Rivka.
That's wonderful. I like that. He just said, I'm putting the two excessive ones together, Rivka and Avraham. And the one who has dedicated this shear is Rivka Chaya Avraham. Very good. That was that's in. Okay, you did well. Okay, I'm saying there's something wrong here. There's something happening here, and what we have to do is we have to get to the bottom of what's going on in the mind of Avraham Avinu. What makes him? What is he? And I believe that with this story, we are being told a number of other major discoveries that were made by Avraham Avinu. Last week, the whole shiur was about the great discovery that an entire world today, 4,000 years later, lives from that discovery. He discovered God. He discovered God all alone. He had no teacher, the Rambam said. He had nobody to tell him anything. By dint of his genius and his sincerity and toil over the years of thinking, pondering, meditating, investigating, questioning, he arrives at a conclusion that there is a God. It was revolutionary. But there are other discoveries, and I'm not so sure whether the other discoveries that were made by Avraham Avinu may not have been as significant or maybe even more significant than that first great discovery. So the shiur is going to be, what else did Avraham Avinu discover? And before we start the answers, let's take a look at number two. So here it is, these three Bedavinav, who Avraham Avinu now knows are angels, and they've told him that this time next year your wife Sarah is going to give birth to a child. And it says after their visit is over, Vayakumi Mushama Anoshim, the men left from there, Vayashkifa Pnei Sodom, they look towards Sodom, Vavram Holechimom Lishalchom, and Avraham is going with them in order to accompany them as he leaves his home. Vashem Amar, and God had said, or that is, God had thought. The thought had already occurred to him. Am I going to conceal from Avram what I plan on doing? God plans on destroying Sodom, Amorah, Admah, Tzvoyim. Am I going to conceal from Avram that which I'm going to do? Avram is going to become a great and mighty nation. And all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. He's going to bring blessing to all of the nations of the world. That happens to be true right now. The amount of blessing that goes out from this country to all nations of the world is awesome. And they hate us, and they despise us, but they certainly want our technological and our scientific and our medical advances, and they come over here. China is salivating in order to pick up whatever they can over here, and the United States and so many other countries on the face of this earth. Israel sends out blessing to the whole world. So God says, am I going to conceal from Avram that which I plan on doing? Ki yedatev leman asher yitzaveh. I don't like that translation. How do you like that? For I have cherished him. The English says, I have cherished him. But wait, it says yedatev. Yedatev means I have known him. Rashi is even going to say that the word Yoda has an even profounder meaning. I love him. That's the famous first use of the word is in Parashat Bereshit, V'ha'odom Yoda et Chava Ishto. Man knew his wife Chava. The Torah is not squeamish about saying that he entered into an intimate relationship with her, but the Torah wants to tell us the essence of that relationship. The essence of that relationship is he knew her, and that knowledge brought him to love her. Rashi says over here, ki yedatev, because I love Avram. I love Avram. And I know Leman Ashi Yitzad as Bono as Beso Achum did. He's going to command his sons and his family after the Shamru Derech Hashem. They're going to keep the Derech Hashem, the way of Hashem. Derech Hashem. This is an extremely important phrase. Avram had discovered not only that there is a God, but there is a Derech Hashem. There is a way in which God wants man to conduct himself in this world. He learned, he discovered the idea of justice and righteousness and kindness and morality and ethics. Avram's discoveries came flowing one after another. He decided that the God who created this world didn't create it for naught. He created it for a reason. He gave men the ability to think and to do so that they should conduct themselves. In what way should they conduct themselves? The only way that Avram can imagine is they should conduct themselves the way God conducts himself. At its most basic level, you know how God conducts himself? He has built a world in which he provides for all living beings. He cares about all living beings. Now, that's number one. That's Derech Hashem. God provides for those whom he likes and for those whom he doesn't like, those who do his bidding and those who don't do it. Who notein lechem lechol basar? He provides sustenance for all flesh on the face of this earth. That's what Avraham Avinu saw. He discovered that there's a Derech Hashem, a way of God. La'asot tzedako mishvat, to do charity and justice. Leman havi Hashem al Avraham et asher dibeir elav, in order that God shall bring all the blessing that he plans on bringing upon Avraham. So we already know Avraham has discovered something a great deal more than just just as a God. He has discovered that there is something called Derech Hashem, and he's even discovered what it is. And what he learns is from the way God conducts himself. Well, there's going to be a lot more that he's going to learn. Why is this man going to learn? Let's turn over. There I really told you I told you that Rashi, ki yadati. I don't know why he uses the word cherished. Rashi says, l'shon chibad is an expression of endearment. I don't know what they're afraid to say. Love? He loves them. Isn't there a pasuk, Avraham ohavi? He loves him. And Rashi goes on, it brings a number of proofs, and then he says, v'onam, however, ikaloshin kulam, wherever it says the word yediyah, einu el loshin yediyah, it really means knowledge. If I love somebody, I want to know everything about them. That's what it means. I'm interested in knowing things about, and truly knowing things, and truly knowing the person, the one whom I love. That's who I care. That's what I care about. All right, let's go to number four. Here I think comes the... how we can understand this passage? So God tells him that I'm going to destroy Sodom and Amorah. Avram begins the great prayer for Sodom and Amorah. And he goes through, he wants to make a deal with God. If there are going to be 50 righteous people, we can destroy. If there'll be 45, there'll be 40. I mean, this is real classic Middle East bargaining, you understand? He bargains that the ration starts from 50 shekel, and he gets him down to 10 shekel. I mean, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. But look what happens over here. By Yomar Hashem, God said, in Emtzo b'Sodom 50 tzadikim b'toch ha'ir, if I find 50 tzadikim in the midst of the city, v'nososi l'chol ha'makom b'avuram, I will spare the entire place because of those 50. Next pasuk, Vayan Avram Vayoma, Avram answered and he said, Hinei noho alti l'daber, I have now begun to speak El Hashem to God, v'onochi ofor for efer. I am dust and ash. Who are we talking about? We're talking about the man whom the Rambam has described as the greatest genius who ever lived. We're talking about the man we quoted last week, Paul Johnson, the guy. Paul Johnson said, if not for Avram, if not for Abraham coming out of Ur of the Chaldees to share his message of the discovery of God with the world, chances are the world would never have discovered God. So here we're talking about probably the greatest genius who ever walked the face of this earth. And he says, Onochi ofor va'efer. I am dust and ash. I'm nothing. Is this just nice talk? He means it. He's talking to God. You don't tell Rabbeinu Shalom, it'd have been garnished. It'd have been garnished, mid-garnished. And you don't mean it? Can't be. Avraham Avinu was dead serious. I want to know, how is Avraham Avinu able to say in all truth and in all honesty, in all sincerity, I'm nothing. The greatest man in the world says, I'm nothing. We have nobodies and a lot of nobodies who say they're the greatest. But the greatest says about himself that he's nothing. How are we supposed to understand? How do you get to this pasuk? You have to stop over here and say, what's happening over here? That's what the shir is going to be about. So I'm going to be taking two approaches, two sort of halachic approaches, and then there's of course going to be in all humility, of course. We have to be very humble during this year. In all humility, the third is would be my own approach to Avraham Avinu. V'anochi Afa V'efa. Okay. Number one. Number five. You're going to know from number five, you're going to find out what mitzvah number 611 is. There are 613 mitzvahs. We're up to 611. And what is mitzvah number 611? Mitzvah, this is from the Sefer HaChinuch. The Chambam writes about it at length. But here we get it, all concise. Mitzvah lihidamos bedarkei Hashem Yisbarach hatovim v'yishonim. There's a mitzvah for men to emulate, to be like God in God's ways that are right and straight and good. We have to be like Him. Didn't we point out that God said about Avraham that He's going to teach His children Derech Hashem? There's a mitzvah to follow in the ways of God. Shenitztaveinu la'asot kol ma'aseinu b'derech ha'yoshev ha'tov b'chol kolcheinu. We are commanded to perform all of our actions in a way of honesty and goodness with all our power. U'la'atot kol dvoreinu asher b'ineinu b'ein zulotenu. Any interrelationship between ourselves and any other human being should always be al derech ha'chesed v'harachamim, kindness and mercy. Kashi yadanu mitorosenu, as we know from our Torah, shezehu derech Hashem. That's the way of God to deal with men with honesty and purity and kindness. V'zeh heftzo mibri Yosef. That's what He wants from His creatures, that they should live together in harmony and in peace with one another. They haven't made it yet. They haven't made it yet. It's 4,000 years and they haven't made it. Leman yisku letuvoso, so that they should be worthy of God's goodness. Ki chafetz chesed, who God wants kindness. He wants to be able to pour out kindness to the people on the face of this earth. He wants them to live together in peace. Val zeh ne'emar, and about this, the pasuk, the Torah says, and this is at the end of Torah, v'holachta b'drachov, go in His ways. V'nichpol ha'mitzvah ol v'mako acher, it was said in another place, also she'emar, l'leches b'chol d'rachov, to go in all of God's ways. In all of God's ways. V'amru, what He's going to say here, this next paragraph, is a Gemara that really appears in a number of places in Shas, and slightly different from one place to the next. For Amru Zichron al-Bracha, our rabbis of blessed memory said, but Fevush Sos HaMitzvah, in their explanation of this mitzvah, the mitzvah of V'Halachta B'Drachov, go in His ways. If you want to become a little intellectual, imitato Dei, to imitate God. Act the way He does. And the Gemara says, Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nikra Rachum, just as the Holy One, blessed be He, is called merciful. Af HaTohe Yerachum, you also be merciful. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nikra Chanun, just as the Holy One, blessed be He, is called compassionate. Af HaTohe Yerachum. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nikra Tzadik, just as the Holy One, blessed be He, is called Tzadik. Af HaTohe Yerachum, you also be Tzadik. Mahu Nikra Kadosh. Oh, this is the most difficult one of all. Just as God is called holy, Afata, you also should be Kadosh. This is also found in another way. Mahu Gomel Chesed, just as God does acts of kindness, you should do it. Mahu Koveres, then they start off, Mahu, just as God is Maldish Arumin, He gives clothing to those who are naked. He made clothing for Adam and Chava. Avatar, you make sure that people should have clothing. Mahu mevaker sacherly, just as God visits the sick right here. We're in the middle of that visit right now. You too should visit the sick. Mahu koveid asamesim, just as God buries the dead, so you should do. And that's at the end of Torah. God Himself is the one who buries Moshe Rabbeinu. All acts of kindness, what God does, this is what we're... This is the model for us. Avraham Avinu, God himself says, Avraham Avinu has learned Derech Hashem. He discovered that. That means he made giant steps from simply having discovered the existence of God. He has discovered that God wants something of man. He requires something of man. And it has to be something that Avraham Avinu was able to arrive at such a conclusion. And he does it simply by watching God, what he does in the world. He's going to learn much more. He's going to learn much more. We're going to learn much more. We're going to see God through Avraham Avinu's eyes. Number six. This is from the Rambam. And this is picking up on the same mitzvah. Umetzuvim anu. You see number six. Umetzuvim anu. We are commanded l'leches badrachim ha'elo ha'benanim. The Rambam had described that there's a golden mean, the famous golden mean. In every character and personality trait, there are the extremes, then there's the middle. A person can be miserly, can't spend a penny on anything, and then there's one who is a spendthrift. Money just goes through his hands like water. Neither one of the two extremes is good. What's good is you have to be thrifty. You have to be thrifty. Thrifty meaning that what's necessary you buy. You have to give stock, you give stock. There are people who are phlegmatic. Nothing moves them. Nothing but nothing. And then there are people who are passionate, angry people. Neither one of the two is good. You have to take the middle path. There are things that should get you upset. There are things that should get you excited, the right things. But you have to be careful never to get angry. Or at least if one does get angry, it should be come and go and gone and over with. You have to walk a middle path in life. Any extremes are bad. Now watch. Not in all cases. There's going to be an exception. Anyway, we are commanded to go in those ways that are benonim. Benonim is the middle of the road. You've got to be a middle of the roader. And we're not talking about politics. Politics is supposed to be extreme right wing. But all other things, you take the middle path. By the way, extreme right wing is God's path. That's why you do it. Okay, that was a commercial. V'heim ha'drachim ha'tovim v'ha'yisharim. The middle path of the good and righteous ways. Shenema v'halachto b'drachov. Go in his way. That's what the Sefer HaChinuch was talking about. These two words are mitzvah 611. Kach lamdu b'fedish mitzvah zu. This is what they taught us about the meaning of this mitzvah. Because really the Gemara asks, how can you go in God's ways? God is a consuming fire. So therefore, the Gemara says, we go in his ways, meaning we emulate his conduct. And here, you had it. Mahu nikro chanan afatoye chanan. Mahu nikro rachum afatahu rachum. Mahu nikro kodosh afatoye kodosh. Val derech zu. And in this way, koru hanevim. In this way, koru hanevim le'el b'chol otam hakinuyim. When the prophets referred to God by those names, when they called him rachum, merciful, chanun, compassionate, kadosh, holy, and also when they called him erech apayim, he's long to get angry, rav chesed, so much kindness, tzaddik, righteous, yosher, right, tumim, complete, gibor, mighty, chazak, strong, v'kayotzeven, all of these terms that are used to describe God are there so that we should know how we are supposed to conduct ourselves. Lahodia, the prophets use those terms to describe God. Lahodia, to let us know, Shehein drachim tovim v'yashon, those are the good of the righteous ways. V'chayav odim lahanik atzmo behem u'lidonot elov k'bikoach. This is an important sense. A person is obligated to conduct himself in those ways to be like God as best as he can. Next, the halacha gimel is important. V'yesh deot. The word deot in the Rambam means character and personality traits. There are personality traits she'osa lo l'adam linhog behen b'beinonim. There are some character traits where the middle is not the optimum way. There are character traits where only the extreme. Elo yisrachik min hakotzo echod. You should go all the way to as far as you can from that character trait. For who? Go valet. Conceit. Help me out here with as many words as you think of.
Haughty.
What?
Haughty.
Haughty.
Arrogant.
Arrogant. Pride. Hubris. Abalgaiver. That's the worst. For those who are learning Daf Yomi, Lesu Plata, certainly the Gemara in Sota is talking about whoever is haughty and full of pride, ki ilu oved avedu zahar. It's as though he worships idols. Well, because I have an ego. I forgot that word. I have an exaggerated ego. It's as though I worship idols. You know what it means? The person who is an egoist sees only himself. There's no place for anybody or anything else in his mind or heart. He's all full of himself. You can't. There are people whose ego is that great that you can't deal with them. And there are such people. And therefore, that's why the Gemara can make a statement as radical as that the one who is full of himself has no place for anybody else. You know what? I'll tell you more. It's ki'ilu oved avedazor, it's as though he worships idols. You know who the idol is?
Yeah.
Him. He becomes the idol. He makes of himself the be-all and the end-all of all of creation. He's God's gift to mankind. But we come up against these kind of people. I've met them in my days. We've all met up with these people. The Rambam says, go valev. A man with ego. Ego is something that a person has to distance himself as far as possible. She'en derech hatova she'yeh odom ona bilvad. The good way is not simply that man should be humble. Ela she'yesh tval ruach, should be lowly in spirit, v'tiyerucho nemucho l'meoda, and his spirit should be down, low. We'll see what it means. L'fichach nema b'Moshe Rabbeinu, that's why it says about Moshe Rabbeinu, on of mi'od, he was most humble of all people. Isn't it awesome? The one person and the one person alone in all of history who spoke to God, who communicated with God at will, by choice, and he was able to be the humblest of all men upon the face of this earth. I'm sure we have so much difficulty even understanding it. I mean, of course, you understand where I'm going. Avraham Avinu has learned that pride and haughtiness and conceitedness, these are destructive of human personality. every dictator and his kid brother who kills millions feels that he is Iber Alles, greater than all beings on the face of this earth. Therefore, Avraham Avinu, maybe his greatest task was to make of himself Ofer for Efer. He was able to accomplish what seems to be the impossible. All right? V'lo nema, going on in the Rambam, it doesn't say Onov Bilvad, it doesn't say that he was, Moshe Rabbeinu was Onov. Onov mi'od! Ma'od, v'od amru, shekol amagbiya libo kofa bi'ika. Gemara says, one whose heart is raised in pride and conceit rejects belief in God. Shana v'ram levavcha, your heart will rise. You're going to forget God, your God. The Aydam of the Gemara says, "Bishamta, a person should be excommunicated." Man, the is begasul taruach, the person who has this exaggerated view of himself. I feel with salsa even a little bit. And a second is chaos, anger. The Rambam says this is another one that you have to turn, get as far away from it as you can. As kas can be destructive, the chayin hakas midaroy he had mode anger, very bad, very bad. The roy lodom she yisrachin men adakatzah aracha. The person has to get away from it to the extreme. The yilamid atzmo, he has to teach himself never to get angry, and even something. But the Gemara says that the Rambam says it that. If one has to feign anger at times in order to educate children or family, then you can feign anger, but to really be angry, this is difficult stuff. This is not easy. This is difficult. Let's go to number 8. Number 8 is a Gemara in the Masechet Megillah. In the Siddur it appears, Moitzoi Shabbos V'yitein Lecha. Beautiful statement of our rabbis. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, "B'chol makom shatam motzei gedulato shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu, shom atam motzei am v'tanu to." Rabbi Yochanan said, "Wherever you find the greatness of the Holy One, blessed be He, there you find His humility." One of the questions I asked: how did Avraham Avinu know that he has to be so humble? You know how he knew it? From the mitzvah 4. The mitzvah 4 was you should go in the ways of God. You know what he sees about God? He had to discover God. You know what it means he had to discover God? That God is in concealment. God could be strutting around the world and let every punk in this world know exactly who he is. No. The Rebbein Shem is like the great artist who has created the most awesome canvas of all, but didn't sign his name down on the bottom. In the world, God is anonymous. He is unseen. It took 37 years for Avraham, the great genius, to discover him, to find him. God is the most humble of all. And if God is the most humble of all, anonymous, silent, mi chomocho ba'elim Hashem, we say in the Shira, who's like you amongst the mighty? And the Gemara says, mi chomocho, who is like you ba'elim in the silent ones? God remains silent. And it's not easy for him to remain silent. But the time has come and is coming where God is not remaining so silent anymore. But he's silent. He's anonymous. You have to find him. You have to find him. From God, Avraham Avinu learns the secret of humility. And Rabbi Yochanan, back to Rabbi Yochanan.
The Chumash Mishat Hamotzei Gedulato Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wherever you find mention of God's greatness, right there you will find out also God's humility. Dovah Zeh Kosov BaTorah, it's written in Torah. Shori BaNeviim, it's written a second time in the Prophets. Umeshulash BaKsuvim, and for a third time in the Holy Writings. And he explains, in Torah it says, Kehashem Elokeichem Hu Eloheihu Elohim V'Adoni Adonim. God, your God, is the God over all gods and the master of all masters. Ha'el ha'gadol ha'gibor v'anora, the great, the mighty, the awesome. Asher lo yisotonim v'lo yikach shochad. You can't bribe him. And you know what it says right after that? This great, awesome, mighty God, osem mishpat yatom v'almanak. He makes sure that there's justice for the orphan and for the widow. The ohev ger, he loves the convert. Latet lo lechem v'simlo, bread and clothing. The mighty, awesome God comes down to take care of the downtrodden, the weak. Shomi b'Neviim, a second time it said in the Neviim, d'chsiv, because it says, and this is from the Haftorah of Yom Kippur in Yeshayo, Kicho Omar Ram v'niso shochin ad b'kodesh mo, so says the one who's raised and uplifted, who dwells forever, who is holy. He dwells on high. Oh, yeah, he dwells on high. But you know where he really is? Ve'ezdako, the broken one. Ushval ruach, the one whose spirit is lowly. And you know what he's doing down there with those who suffer? Lahachayot ruach shvalim, to give life to the spirit of those who are lowly. Lahachayot leiv nidkayim, and give life to those who are broken. Mishulash baksuvim, and the third time in ksuvim diksiv, because it says, Shidul olikim zamru shemo, sing unto God, solul arocha baravot v'yoshemo, sing to the one who rides over the very heights of the world. The ills will follow, be joyful before him. You know what it says right afterwards in that pasuk, in that parak in Tillim, Avi Yisoyim, the father of Yisoyim, the Dayan Almanos, and the judge of the Almanos, Elokim b'Ma'on Kodesho, the God from up on high, from up on high. So Avraham Avinu sees, discovers. Not only he discovers God, he discovers the way of God. How does he discover the way of God? By watching, observing how God conducts himself in the world. Now comes me. There's an even greater discovery. And this may be Avraham's greatest discovery of all. There's a great danger in being a genius. Genius is dangerous. Most of the tzaddis in this world is the result of geniuses. The genius is not only awesomely brilliant, but he can also, at the very same time, be the worst lowlife of all. The genius is the one who thinks he and he alone, he and he alone knows what truth is. He and he alone knows what goodness is. He looks down upon all other human beings as lesser human beings than he. And he therefore has within him a destructive power that has caused the world terrible suffering. You know what Avraham Avinu discovers? And I'll tell you what I call it. There's a dark side to genius. The dark side to genius, the negative aspect of genius, is that genius can be. Meken choriv machan aveld. You can destroy a world with genius. Don't trust geniuses. Incidentally, maybe this is, no, not incidentally, but maybe ultimately what the shir is all about. Somehow or other, just by chance, after the whole shir was finished, there are svarim that I have in the house that I'm embarrassed. Not so embarrassed, I have a lot of them. Sometimes, you know, I don't open up a sefer for 20 years. So there was a sefer I opened up here for 20 years. And it's by a namesake of mine who's no relative whatsoever, though I've been asked 20,000 times. Rav Zev Gold of our show, he was the president of World Mizrahi. He must have died in the late 50s or early 60s. I remember hearing him once when I was a student in Yeshivas Neir Yisrael in Baltimore. He was invited, and I think it was at lunch or at supper. He was an orator. I can say over what he said that day in the yeshiva, as good as him, maybe better. Every word got inscribed over here. It was great. We're not going to talk about that now. So I find that he gave a drosha. Was it in Beth El in Borough Park, 1927? And the substance of the drosha is the difference between the great of the nations of the world and the great of Israel. The great genius Talmud Chacham, if he's not a tzaddik as well, is useless. Nothing. Hand in hand with intellectual brilliance goes tzidkus. You can't say, in the non-Jewish world, a saint is one thing, and a brilliant intellectual is another thing. They don't necessarily ever have to come together in the same person. By Klal Yisrael, there's no such thing. If you're a tzaddik and a great Talmud Chacham, you're okay. If not, you're an Eisworf. You're nothing. So here it is. My wife gave me bought me a present about how many years ago? 20 years ago also. I'm rereading the book now for the 10th time. I usually read it around Parshas Lech Lecha and Vayera. It's a book called The Intellectuals by Paul Johnson. I'm just going to read a few sections. And we have them there right on the page. There's so much to learn. He writes about 20, 25 different great intellectuals of the last 200 years. I can tell you the bottom line. These great intellectuals who made awesome contributions to the world were a bunch of nuts. They were off the wall. They were cruel. They were evil. They had no respect for anybody around them. Their wives were saints to remain with them, and not all of them remained with them. These people were evil people. And yet the world, say, the first one, Jean-Jacques Rousseau. Rousseau wrote works that are fundamental to all education today. But it doesn't say it here, but this greiser Godel Rousseau, we're going to see right away, who was so full of love for all of mankind. His wife Therese had 5 children. He never let her take any one of the children home from the hospital. Each child was sent from the hospital to an orphanage. 5 children. Most of them died in the first year in the orphanage. This is the man who has laid the groundwork for all education. He was a cruel, cruel individual. He was an angry man. Watch. He was off the wall. You'll go tell that to people in the world who say, Jean-Jacques Rousseau. Rousseau the Godel. Behind the self, one of his other mishigasim was self-pity. Behind the self-pity lay an overpowering egoism. Egoism, he was an egoist. A feeling that he was quite unlike other men, both in his sufferings and his qualities. He wrote, "What could your miseries have in common with mine? My situation is unique, unheard of since the beginning of time." Equally, he wrote, "The person who can love me as I can love is still to be born. This man is full of love, sends five children to their deaths, his own children. No one ever had more talent for loving. I was born to be the best friend that ever existed." I mean, are we talking about a Meshuggah? One of the most respected intellectuals of the last 200 years. He was a madman. "I would leave this life with apprehension if I knew a better man than me." Show me a better man than me. A heart more loving, more tender, more sensitive. Posterity will honor me because it is my due. Skotner, I'm the great. I rejoice in myself. My consolation lies in my self-esteem. If there were a single enlightened government in Europe, it would have erected statues to me. Do you hear what this Gogol Bagoyim is writing? It's unbelievable. No wonder Burke declared vanity was the vice he possessed to a degree little short of madness. Was the Rambam right when the Rambam said, that from egoism you should go as far away as you can? Do you understand that Avraham Avinu, you know what he discovered, his greatest discovery? He discovered himself. He discovered that he's brilliant, that he's a genius like the world doesn't have. And what else he discovered was the danger of genius. The dark side. And you know what Avram set out to do? He was going to make himself off of our aether, dust and the earth. That's what he was going to do. Because otherwise, who knows what would happen? He'd chas v'shalom be a meshuggah like Rousseau. It was part of Rousseau's vanity that he believed himself incapable of base emotions. "I feel too superior to hate. I love myself too much to hate anybody." I mean, these are the ravings and the rantings of a meshuggah who was one of the great intellectuals of the last 200 years. Ochen ve'ef the intellectuals. I'm always confident when my wife tells me I'm on the right side of genius. I'm not scared. Never have I known the hateful passions. Never did jealousy, wickedness, vengeance enter my heart. Anger occasionally, but I am never crafty and never bear a grudge. In fact, he frequently bore grudges and was crafty in pursuing them. By the way, every one of the things that he said he isn't, he was. He was wicked, he was jealous, he had vengeance in his heart all the time. If you cross him, or if he thought you're not giving him enough cover, ach and vei to you, you're finished. Wipe the floor. Men noticed this. Rousseau was the first intellectual to proclaim himself repeatedly the friend of all mankind. But loving as he did humanity in general, he developed a strong propensity for quarreling with human beings in particular. One of his victims, his former friend Dr. Truncheon of Geneva, protested, "How is it possible that the friend of mankind is no longer the friend of common people?" when I read about people who are overwhelmed with love for Palestinians, I get worried. Habibi, love begins at home. Love begins with your wife, with your children, with your people. And if it doesn't grow there, but you're one of these people who loves the whole world, you can be certain the guy hates everybody around him. Don't be overly impressed. There have been stories in the paper of some of our greiser, not-so-religious intellectuals that are pushing. Hate Jews. But they love mankind. They're over. The hearts gate ice for every chalaria in the world. Leo Tolstoy. Tolstoy was probably one of the greatest novelists who ever lived. War and Peace, Anna Karenina, this Leo Tolstoy. And he was Maruch Yomim. He lived long enough to make so many people's lives miserable. It's unbelievable. Leo Tolstoy. Russians and intellectuals, they adored, they worship Leo Tolstoy. Of all the intellectuals we are examining, Leo Tolstoy was the most ambitious. His audacity is awe-inspiring, at times terrifying. He came to believe that by the resources of his own intellect and by virtue of the spiritual force he felt welling within him, he could effect a moral transformation of society. His aim, as he put it, was to make of the spiritual realm of Christ a kingdom of this earth. He saw himself as part of an apostolic succession of intellectuals, which included Moses, Isaiah, Confucius, the early Greeks, Buddha, Socrates, down to Pascal, Spinoza, Feuerbach. He had a very, very exaggerated an exaggerated view of himself. And all these often unnoticed and unknown, who taking no teacher of trust, thought and spoke sincerely, Palmina, but Tolstoy had no intention of remaining unnoticed and unknown. Oh, no. Tolstoy was going to make sure. His diaries reveal that as a young man of 25, he was already conscious of special power and a commanding moral destiny. Read a work on the literary characterization of genius today, and this awoke in me the conviction that I am a remarkable man, both as regards capacity and eagerness to work. I have not yet met a single man who was morally as good as I, and who believed that I do not remember an instance in my life when I was not attracted to what is good and was not ready to sacrifice anything to it. But he said, by the way, you should know, all of these guys had absolutely no respect and no regard for anybody around them. They were also a bunch of ganavim. Nearly every one of them borrowed money and never paid back. They most probably assumed that, look at the great merit that I gave you the opportunity to give me money. They never paid back. There was no such thing. They were kind of them. They destroyed human personalities.
We'll take one more. Henrik Ibsen. Henrik Ibsen. By the way, we can keep doing this for hours on end. Henrik Ibsen, great writer. Also, one of the greatest writers who ever lived. Ibsen. I'm sure that there was one aspect of Ibsen's vanity which verged on the ludicrous. I'll just tell you what he said. He had a Michigan for medals. He liked medals. You know medals? He went to all sorts of ways and means to buy medals, to get medals, to have people give him medals. But it's not enough that he had the medals. This nut used to walk around with all of his medals on his chest. One chest, another chest. And people looked at him like a mishugana. Not like a mishugana. He was a mishugana. He's brilliant. As a writer, he was brilliant. Avraham Avinu discovered the dark side of genius. Avraham Avinu discovered that what he has to do more than anybody else is make sure that he never fall into that dark side. And he was therefore going to turn himself into Ophir Va'Epher. What Avraham Avinu did for those three Bedevina, the three Bedouins on that day, was a moral lesson for him. We don't have to conduct ourselves that way. We should stay in bed, take Akamol, and call the doctor in the morning. But Avraham Avinu knew that his whole personality and his whole being depends on his making himself subservient to everybody else. Because he is blessed with the grave danger of being the greatest genius in the world. That was Avraham Avinu's, that was his greatest discovery. He discovered himself to really know himself truly. And therefore, that became his life's work. Everybody he loved, adored, every human being. He was able to destroy every last bit of ego in him. And only then was he able to say, "V'anochi ofer v'efer, I am dust and ash," standing before God and saying it in all honesty. Therein lies the greatness of Avraham Avinu, the ability to rise above his genius, to learn himself. He learned God, he learned Derech Hashem, he learned who Avraham Avinu is, and he learned what Avraham Avinu could, God forbid, be if he doesn't turn himself into a human being of great humility. That's it. Thank you.